forgot, by the way, I am a subscriber for the last 30 years of Scientific American. I get it every week, every month. Anyway, if it were a recent issue in Scientific American, like the May issue, I think is in my hands, or the April issue, I'm going to go back and look at that, and if you tell me that's where it is, or if you go to their website, scientificamerican.org, that's probably .org, maybe that's where this was announced. There have been a number of power companies that have used a gyroscopic-like effect, a mass rotating rapidly with bearings and motors as a method of overcoming instantaneous load spike from the power company. There are a number of power companies using that technique to overcome instantaneous spikes. It gives the whole system relative mass, if you know what I mean. Maybe you're discussing something different than that, Scott. D3ZTZ, K2RIW, and the Tech Man.
I believe that I am. I unfortunately gave the article a glancing read when it went by me. It didn't capture my full attention. So I believe correct. Now, secondly, I subscribe to the digital subscriber Scientific American, and there's all sorts of daily and weekly feeds articles that it sends you when you subscribe to Digital Siam. So that might be a little different than the magazine. There may be additional content there other than the magazine. This is not referring to what you are talking about. This is talking about flywheels and overcoming quantum level wobble. They talk specifically about wobble and the inefficiencies and problems with classic flywheel technology. And there is a gentleman who's got them where it rivals the energy stored in his capture the wobble flywheels at the quantum level that are rivaling chemical storage cells without the mass, without the footprint of chemical batteries, without all that hazard, and using the kinetic energy. It's something like on the order of 150 times efficiency or something like that. So yes, I am talking about something different than gyroscopic spontaneous load response.
DE3ZTZ, D2RIW. There is a bus, I think it's in Europe, but I'm not sure, which uses the flywheel for energy storage as well as electric power, I believe. And so when they go down a hill, the excess, what would you call it now, recovered energy from the wheels goes into the flywheel. And so they run much more efficiently that way by using flywheel as partial storage in the operation of this bus. And I think you're discussing something different than that. And the word wobble, you made it sound like wobble, whatever that means, is some kind of a desirable characteristic in a certain exotic kind of a flywheel. So what does the wobble mean? What makes the wobble desirable? Ordinarily in a flywheel, I'd like to have it well-balanced and a good set of bearings, but there is no wobble. So I'm a little confused by that one, then, Scott.
As I recall from the article, any flywheel has our manufacturing capabilities and whatnot, and something at the quantum level, there is always wobble. And we build them very strong and very heavy in order to have a mechanical physical strength so they don't fly apart at the rotational speeds to be useful to us in terms of either storing power or regenerating the power. This gentleman's process or whatever he's come across allows the wobble and captures, lets its energy back out into, it's put into the system and is normally restrained by strength of materials. He is somehow capturing the effect and getting the energy back out without having materials that are, you know, 40 trillion tons and all titanium-based and everything else. Like I said, I wish I could remember more of the details because I glanced the article, but it mentioned all of the things that the other gentleman was discussing. It's a quantum level effect. A wobble is there. We've used strong materials to kind of constrain it, and the guy has found a way to let the genie out of the bottle and get it to work. He's said.
Okay, that sounds real interesting, Scott. I think you're saying that if I'm reluctant, even though I'm a Scientific American subscriber from way back, I'm reluctant to have them send me weekly things digitally. It's darn many companies that have done that to me, that I can't get through my email input each day, if you know what I mean. I'm being saturated as it is. So I'm a little reluctant to do that, but I think it's telling me if I go to siam.org and look for flywheel energy storage and whatever, I'm lucky to find this thing that you're describing. And so they found a way of recapturing the energy that would normally be wasted by wobble, is my simplistic understanding, but I have the impression that a lot more than that is going on. In theory, I could run a flywheel where it's got some wobble. In other words, the whole cage on the outside is going to be moving cyclically. If I had the right kind of transducers on the outside of that cage, I could recapture that energy and charge a battery with it or whatever. But I think you're describing something considerably beyond that, Scott. So I guess because you've got my attention, I'll go to siam.com and see if I can find that. BE3ZTZ, thank you, Super LIW and the Tech Man. Back to you, Scott.
Actually, I've just found it in my inbox. Give me a second here to give you or find the best way to get this to you.
Yeah, I have a email address, a microletters at arol.net, and so that will get it to me, among other ways. I imagine if you go to qrz.com, I probably also have a listing of an email address. So that way you could mail the URL is what I think you would be mailing, not the actual article. Is that true, Scott? BE3ZTZ-K2LIW?
I'm pretty sure I can send you the URL. So that was at arl.net, or is it .com or .org?
When individuals as members of ARL have a website with them, it's almost always arl.net. Yeah, it's arl.net. If I was an official of ARL, it would be arl.org. But as a simple subscriber, even though I'm a lifelong subscriber, it's arl.net with my corporate letters in the front. Back to you, Scott.
The bomb is away. DE3ZTZ.
Okay, very fine. So, once again, it's not just recapturing the wobble energy as a mechanical transducer on the outside of the gyroscope cage. I think you're implying that some other piece of magic is taking place as your first impression of that article. Is that true, Scott? DE3ZTZ, K2LIW?
I'm just trying to figure the quickest way to do an over-the-air summary of this thing. Improves on the traditional flywheels by better managing the natural wobble of a spinning mass. Traditional flywheels have been very expensive because engineers align the natural axis of the wheel's rotation with the desired rotation of the generator. Thus, they were always struggling to minimize the natural wobble of the wheel, using very expensive magnets and bearings and high-precision engineering and materials like high-grade carbon fiber or rigid steel. Beacons, who's the name of the guy who's done this, flywheel for grid storage, Gray is the other name, but you should have the link and you'll be able to see it.
Did you want something there, John? Go ahead. I'll do that. I'll forward it to you also, John. And Scott, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And my guess is, Scott, you probably got a bit of a laugh about the fact that we think we have such huge griefs of our local power, like the Long Island Power, 530, here on Long Island. You guys have Canadian Hydro, probably the most reliable electric power in the world, and probably near the lowest rates in the world. I guarantee you were saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not living on that island. I bet you had some of those comments that you hear, as you heard some of the things that Glenn and I and John were saying to each other about our local power authority. And depending on who you talk to, they're either the worst people in the world or they're pretty good. Over to you, Scott.
Well, depending on your point of view, I've had the fortune and misfortune of working in many places around the globe so far. And it's always good to return home. I live in Ontario, one of the provinces of Canada, and in my child years, teenage, and into my early adult years, there was Progressive Conservatives, which is one of the parties up here, were in power for 31 consecutive years. Very popular government for three decades. Unprecedented reign. And they've had a wonderful sense of what they wanted Ontario to look like 25 and 30 and 40 years in the future, and they built that hydro infrastructure, and it was built at a time when building stuff like infrastructure was cheap. And yes, we enjoyed and still to this day enjoy one of the lowest electricity rates. The problem is successive governments have done absolutely nothing to invest in infrastructure since the end of the 31-year reign, and now everything's in a state of, oops, we have to spend $1 trillion to bring it back up to, you know, a quality state. So we're about to get hit with some of those bills that you guys are used to, and the bills that I've seen when I, you know, like worked in California and Arizona and places like that. So I might have snickered 6 or 8 years ago, but not anymore, because we're about to get sat on by that elephant, too, up here. BE3ZTZ.
BE3ZTZ, K2LIW. Very fine, Scott. One of the very serious Canadians when it comes to VHF, UHF, SHF radio, the guy who holds one of the distance records on moon bounce at 47 gigahertz, 22 gigahertz, is Barry, BE4MA, Victor Echo 4, Mike Alpha. Barry Malawanchuk, I think is his last name is pronounced. And he worked for Canadian Hydro, I can't think of the exact name. He lives in Winnipeg. He recently retired, but I think he spent 30 or so years with a Canadian Hydro company that fed megavolt DC, plus 500 kilovolts and minus 500 kilovolts on two separate wires, was the transmission system, and when something failed, they would go to just using one of the 500 kilovolts with reference to ground, as opposed to the plus 500 kilovolts and minus 500 kilovolts, and there's some interesting stories, pictures about what the inverting and generating equipment looked like. They did that, these gigawatt power stations, so you maybe do or don't know about how but we who are into serious microwave and ham radio know this awful nice guy, Barry. I've met him quite a few times. Wonder if you happen to have known of him, Scott. BE3ZTZ, K2RIW.
I would have to go with a negative on that. The call sign is not familiar. No, I can't say that I have. You said V4, which puts them in Manitoba. Winnipeg's a city, Manitoba is a province. And it's possibly my ignorance, but I thought the Quebec power company was the only one that was using DC as a transmission, it's generation and transmission. I thought everyone else that swallowed the North American pill and it was doing AC. Correct, but I may be wrong about that.
You got it right. He is Victor Echo 4. And yes, his home residence is Winnipeg. But I'm not sure that it's the province of New Brunswick. That's not the province where he was working. I'm not sure. But I know he was involved, either theoretically or on a day-to-day basis, when he was working with the plus or minus 500 kilovolt DC power transmission system. So the fact that he's retired for a couple of years, of course, makes it more complicated for you to be able to recognize him. And if my memory was better, I'd be able to remember the exact company he used to work for. And maybe it was the adjacent province. Okay, Scott, hope we kept you amused tonight. And we had a 70-degree day down here. I wonder what kind of weather you put up there. E3ZTZ, K2RIW.
Well, all last week, Monday to Friday, we were down in low single-digit Celsius, which is low teens in the Fahrenheit scale. And Saturday, it just popped. It was 21 degrees here, 21 Celsius here in Toronto. Just a gorgeous Saturday. Today was a little cloudier, but it was close. It was about 16, 18 degrees Celsius. So from a Torontonian perspective, spring has sprung. All the sidewalk patios opened up. People may be sitting there in their coats, but they're out on the patios. So summer's too short up here. So once it starts, we're hardy folk. We're out there. Need to see that.
Yeah, my guess is, from your guys' point of view, as soon as you get above the single digit Celsius, spring has arrived. And by the time you get into 20 Celsius, that's summer, I'm guessing. And don't even need a sweater. Okay, Scott. Bye-bye for now. And guess we'll see you next week. And keep the faith. And be kind to each other. D3Z is a clear final. K2I will be clear listening.
Well, thank you for all you do, and the others on here as well, John and everyone. Appreciate it, as always. Like I said, you're up here. We've uplinked a repeater that's there's 66,000 licensed PAMs in Canada. Two-thirds of them are in the what's called the Golden Horseshoe, which is around Lake Ontario, Lake Erie. And this repeater hits probably about one-third of that, two-thirds of the licensed PAMs. So you got a large audience on this, or potentially large audience on this repeater. So, good on you. Always a pleasure to hear you, and a pleasure to participate. Thanks for letting me in. Thanks for the four beeps rule. CE3ZZZ. Have a great week, everyone. 73.
Hey, you're scaring me a little bit here, Scott. 66,000 hands, and close to a third of them here in this net. Boy, we better be careful about what we say. You're telling me potentially 20,000 hams are within the listening radius of this particular repeater. You should know, what is the call letters of the repeater you're speaking about, Scott, K2LIW?
There are two that I alternate coming in on. This one is VA3XPR, and the other one is V3YYZ. Just to clarify the numbers, there are 67,000. If you download the call sign database from the government of Canada, there are 67,000 unique individuals. As Canadians were allowed to hold more than one call sign and club stations and things like that, I sorted out that there are 67,000 individuals holding a call sign. Two-thirds of the people holding a call sign have a postal code that begins with the letter M, as in Mary, or the letter L, as in Lincoln, and that puts them in what's called the Golden Horseshoe, which is the band around on the Canadian side, the bend around Lake Ontario, and down towards Niagara Falls. Okay, and it's two-thirds of the licensed hands have a postal code that begins with the letter M or L. This repeater has a range that hits approximately half of that population. It's kind of dead center in that postal code M and L region. The E3 is STZ.
And just like I said, we better be careful. Wow. Okay. Some of the controversies we get into, we better be careful. I certainly better not say anything about the people up there. That's derogatory. I'm kidding a little bit. Thank you, Scott. Bye-bye for now. Hope we'll see you next week. K2IW, clear and listening.
Again, 73 is and thanks as always. B3 is STZ, monitoring.
Good night, John.
John, you can tell me how many comes out to this frequency? Yes, that's me. I'm two echoes. How many comes out? That's not from the radio. That's from echoing. Is it loud and clear? Okay, and how about now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I just need to know. Anyhow. John. I was really trying to... I had a limited time. So I was trying to compact and compress all of this. Remember the Canadian series of videos that were using also the wheel they showing instead of mechanics or possession of their mother's breath. Yeah, I mean, I went through the whole of the material, and I show in this material that from the mechanical representation to the quantum gyroscope the device, which actually is on the nuclear Neville level, then to probe precision in magnetometer, and then to tissue vapor in magnetometer. I was trying to keep this the topic, and then I went to the friction. Nobody mentioned it before. It is a factor. It's not that I invented it. It's friction between the nucleus and the surrounding electrons, the protection, because it must be one. And due to friction, you have a heat, of course. And then due that, to that, you have the energy release also. Then the Lymer process, probably not many people understood that, that in electromagnetism, that was the rotation that is superimposed upon the motion of the system of charged particles. All having the same rotation of the charge to mass by magnetic field. For some reason, it wasn't noticed. And then I went to ionized solvent on molecules that is created due to that process and the travel free electrons. And during the conversion to the neutral stage, there is a losing the orbit of the electron. And that electron is simply creating the photon. Sometimes they create a gamma ray. Depends from what substance they use for. So, as you noticed, at least the measurement didn't show gamma at all. Then I went to how the neutron activation happened, explained, and then I finished with cobalt and to XJL. Everything is based on the energetic level. So if you measure that with kilo electron volt, then the less power you apply, or the lesser coupling happens, the lower the impact to the human body and to exhale. And you know why? Because at first nobody talk about it. It's money that creates the business. Big money. They don't want to talk about it. You have a series of articles, not one, not ten, series of articles, scientific. Look at the quadrupole relaxation, the mechanism that operates for speed you play only, and only for you play which are not at the center of tetrahedral or octahedral symmetry. And then you're going to see the term, there is a friction between the nucleus of the surrounding electrons. And that term is being sometimes being called quadrupole relaxation. And you're clear. And that's correct. For this, there is a formula standing about asymmetry, which is wobbly. Factor of electric field asymmetry due to the wobble. RQR equals 1 divided by T. I don't want to read it, but it's a formula that we teach the quadrupole momentum and electric field gradient in correlation time to it. So that is definitely explained and present. That's what I say, John. We know only about hydrogen atoms, you know, that is a factor for nuclear magnetic resonance. But as I was able to dig into the literature, I found that this process is not really something that is associated only with this particular substance. That's why I found the basis, and I was talking about a long time ago, and I'm getting better and better and better trying to support it. And eventually, the device works as desired, then there would be a lot of notions about how it works, and like this. And that you're right, but the typical assumption is, you know, like weapon of mass destruction. So what is thought, that is thought.
Why they work with that on those experiments you saw from New Zealand and...
The process of the Zelina experiment, Andrea Rossi, Coleman, and Hendershot, and Alexandra Correa, all of this is based on transportation in association with nuclear magnetic resonance.
I delaw token F off.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
I delaw token F off.
Is this the end, John? I'm trusting, but I cannot hear you. Yeah, I can hear you through the radio, but I cannot hear you clearly. No wonder, John. No wonder. John, thank you very much, and I appreciate talking to you, and that was a nice segment of life going on. How do you feel, John? Okay, then it is not working anymore. Then it is not working anymore.
Amateur.
Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1863 with a release date of April 26, 2013 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham Radio rallies to assist in the wake of a killer quake that hits China. Another loss in the ongoing fight against BPL. A number of new hamsats are now on orbit. The latest news on Hamvention 2013. A new D-Star repeater where few might expect it. And a new book to interest the new ham and non-ham alike. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1863, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from near Houston, Texas, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Amateur Radio was there to provide emergency relief communications after a powerful earthquake killed more than 200 people and injured several thousand in China's rural southwest on Saturday, April 20th. Graham Kemp, VK4BB of the WIA News, has more.
Pop in, Bravo Alpha 1, Romeo Bravo, reported that amateur radio operators swung into action to provide emergency communications and coordinate part of the disaster response. Fanbin, BA1RB, has recently reported that public communication was back to normal in the disaster area and the local repeater systems continued to work well. He said that the Chinese Radio Sports Association, also known as the Chinese Radio Amateur Club, no longer required emergency communication frequency. It expressed thanks for the support from IARU member societies and others. A role for some radio hams was maintaining traffic control with emergency supplies arriving, including tents, water, food and medicine. Neighbouring Russia sent rescue teams, and the Red Cross from Hong Kong with an embedded radio amateur are helping the ongoing effort.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB of the WIA News in Australia.
Bye.
Good morning. The time is 12:40 a.m. 12:40 a.m. 73. And good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Idle AutoConnect enabled. AutoConnecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Set tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Net tonight at 8:30. W2VL Repeater System. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL Repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you. me yet?
I believe so. I believe it's all clear. Everything is out of the way. What have you gotten up to? City line yet? Just about to cross it. Coming across Lake Vile now. Okay. I remember that the last second while I'm out, the sprinkler guy is going to come by, turn on my system, and mark the heads. So when the landscaper comes by, he doesn't rip everything out and rip everything to shreds. And I had forgotten to turn the water on. Oh, that makes it hard for the sprinklers to work. And, of course, when I threw the quarter-turn ball valve in the basement and listened for the water, it didn't stop so quickly, so I said, the valve outside, the blowout valve is open. So I had to go outside, close the blowout valve, and then turn it on. All right. It happens. Yes, but now he's got a charge system which he can operate from outside the house. That's easy enough. So he'll come in today, and he'll start the system up, flag all my existing heads, and later today, you know, sometime today also, the landscaper's going to come and start scooping up and trucking out all the combo wood chip and dirt that has been ground up into one huge mess. And then later on in the week, they'll come by and they'll grate things and all that good stuff. And then the sprinkler guy comes back and puts the new sprinkler heads in, and then the gardener comes back and seeds. And then I will finally be finished with Sandy. 6 months, huh? 6 months, and it still, you know, haunts us. Well, since the guy who took down the tree said I was going to have to open up my fence and an excavator would have to come in to pull the stump, I didn't want to do it during the cold weather because I didn't want to take a chance in breaking a brand new PVC fence. So I put it off until the spring. And then they didn't even have to open up the fence and didn't have to use an excavator. They came in with a monster grinder. There you have it. So, yep, that's the way it is. The way it is here in the big city. It's a big band mobile, by the way. You know, I never got a chance to call John over the weekend. Is he recuperating at home now? I'll have to let you know later. I'll probably shoot him a text this afternoon. I may wait till a decent hour. I think I have the cell phone number. If I don't, I'll shoot you a text or an email to send it to me. Shoot me a texticle and I'll shoot you one back. And this way we can shoot each other with texticles. I don't think I want to touch that line. Saw an old movie last night. Something I hadn't seen, for over 20-something years. Still sat there and scratched my head when it was all over. What movie, pray tell, he asked. If I tell you, then you're going to be able to hit like. Whatever. David Lynch's Eraserhead. That's got something to do with erasing from videotape or something like that? And when you erase the person from the videotape, they erased in real life? Something like that?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. It has nothing to do with technology at all. It's a black and white movie from 1977.
I don't remember it. When you erase some... wait a second. I'm thinking of Eraser, which was an Arnold movie. You've been erased.
Has nothing to do with that either. This is a borderline, I don't know, psychedelic horror film. Oh,
sorry,
to appreciate you have to be high. Right, there was a breaking station in there, Gary. Go ahead, breaking station, then you can give it to Gary.
You're very good. Piece of junk. Movie. Eraser. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. This is BK2ILO. Name is Jan. And I recognize the voices, but don't have the call signs written down. BK2ILO. I guess Gary. I guess that I haven't heard any call signs. BK2IOL, over.
Good morning, IOL. This is Gary N2ZEP, and I'll be handing it off to Rich N2PPN. We're talking about two different movies here. Eraser with Schwarzenegger, I agree. It wasn't the greatest of movies. Everything was totally predictable. But the movie that Rich is talking about is Eraser Head. And the question I had for you, Rich, since it's a psychedelic horror movie, was do you have to be high to really appreciate it?
I don't know whether being high helps you appreciate it, but being high definitely makes you, like, I don't know, enhances some of the weirder crap in the movie. There's no describing it, Gary. You have to sit down and watch it. And you have to promise yourself that you'll sit down and watch it right to the very end. Because there's just no describing it. Even the critics who reviewed this movie back when it first came out, you read some of the, some of their critiques, and it's like, even they just sat there and they were like, we don't know what to make of it. It took them 7 years to make this movie? Oh my God. It's a cult classic. That's the best way I can describe it. It's a cult classic. Not as much entertainment as Rocky Horror, but definitely something that makes you want to go.
N2ASS.
N2ASS, pick it up and hand it over to, I forgot the prefix. IOL is the suffix.
Echolink and IRLP and all that nonsense. VK2IOL or whatever your call sign was. Go ahead. Since Greg doesn't want to pick it up.
I can't pick it up from the 375. The whole thing completely dropped out.
Well, we can hear you fine.
Now I can hear you, but a minute ago I couldn't. There was no response. I kept clicking back to the 850, and I couldn't even, I was too far from that to even hear you guys, so that ended that one. That movie, Eraserhead, I can guarantee you that he will hate every inch of it and not watch it the whole way through. Now, maybe that's why I hated every inch of it. The first 30 minutes was no sound whatsoever. It was... I hated that movie. But I didn't sit all the way through it. Maybe that was part of it. I hated it.
Plenty of sound in the movie. You almost think it's a silent movie for a minute, but no, there's plenty of sound in the movie. Greg.
Yeah, so there was none. You might as well send it to the, I missed his call sign, the Echo Link station.
I think his name was Jan.
Sorry if you don't like Echo Link. Or IRLP, but, expat, living in Australia. Call sign is Victor Kilo 2 India Lima Oscar VK 2 ILO stroke Kilowatt Charlie 2 Charlie Tango KC 2 CT. You guys are talking about movies. And those are pretty much the worst. In my opinion, pretty much most of the worst movies that were ever made. The absolute worst movie that was ever made was Plan 9 from Outer Space. And it starred Bela Lugosi, and he died during the filming of it. But my favorite movie, and it's absolutely my all-time favorite movie, and I have it on DVD. It's Forbidden Planet. Walter Pidgeon, Leslie Nielsen, Anne Margaret. Absolute fantastic movie, made in 1954, 1955. Of it. Don't know who gets it. I'll pass it over to you, Gary.
Well, I guess I'm not as much as a movie buff as you guys, because I recognize the name Forbidden Planet. I recognize the names of all the actors that you mentioned, but I don't remember the movie. I must have seen it on television in black and white when I was growing up. The other two movies I haven't really seen, and Rich, from the way everyone's describing it, I don't know if I'm going to search out Eraserhead, so I may not like it on your Facebook page. Rich, N2ZDP here.
Nymphos without pants.
Oh, pink flamingos.
I want to.
Pink flamingos, the vine. Got that movie. Used to see it at the Union Gun Mini Cinema.
So did Eraserhead and Rocky Horror, Pink Flamingos at the Mini. Over in Uniondale, used to sit through them and watch them all the time. Brisbane or Sydney?
Me, 75 kilometers northwest of Sydney. Yep, used to go to the Union Gun Mini Cinema, watch Pink Floyd live at Pompeii, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Pink Flamingos, and all those other weird and wonderful movies. Sorry, didn't mean to take it as a rotation. I guess it's N2ZEP to get it. Gary, over.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I'm trying to remember the name, since we're on that kind of movie. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie where these big seed pods come down from outer space and you place it next to a sleeping person and it replicates the person and then sucks the life out of it.
something like Invaders from Space or something like that. Let's have Steve have a full turn.
Yeah, that was the Invasion of the Body Snatchers for Kevin McCarthy. This gave it to Ian, QN Mobile. Are you talking about bad sci-fi movies like Day of the Triffids and other movies like Eraserhead, like Putney Swamp? Remember that one, Rich?
Crank gets a turn first, then Stevie.
That's the movie I think that started the whole conversation, Eraserhead. You take it, Rich.
As I was remarking to Cap that I watched it last night, and my daughter has agreed to sit and watch it with me, and she was trying to get me to describe it to her, and I'm like, there's just no describing it.
Yes, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. We've lost the rotation. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where they put the pod down. How about them, T-H-E-M, them, and it. It came from outer space. And how about the Cape Canaveral monsters? Over, over, over. Don't know who gets it.
Them about the big ants.
The crawling eye with Forrest Tucker.
About in Swamp Thing, Return of the Swamp Thing, and all the Swamp Thing movies. If you want to get into that, you can list the whole genre of the bad Japanese sci-fi with Godzilla and Mothra and all those, where the soundtrack is off a half a beat. That's the Blob.
Ah, yes, Steve McQueen, the Blob. The Crawling Eye. Wow, I haven't seen that movie in 35 years. The Crawling Eye, or Crawling Eyes. Yes, the Japanese. I saw lots of them in the movie theaters. Tokyo was always devastated. Mothra, Godzilla, and the list goes on and on. Loved those movies. Anyway, let's get some rotation here. I don't know who gets it. This is VK2ILO / KC2CT. Let's get some water back there, because we're getting we're all getting crazy about the old movies. Somebody work out the rotation, please. 3K2ILO / KC2CT.
I'm trying to remember his name and call sign. He used to be a regular on the morning show. Worked as a federal park ranger out east, and we always used to say, yeah, Uncle Joe, I think it was. We always used to say we could all shelter under his nose. Yeah, why don't we use his type of rotation? Rich, over to you, N2ZEP. It's called shotgun rotation, Jan. There is no rotation. And hopefully that doesn't bother you, because that's just the way we roll over here on the morning show. Or shall I say the early morning show on the W2VL repeater here. And to PPN Mobile, by the way, for those writing it down in their little black and white hardcover composition notebooks. So, you're feeling a little down in the dumps, Skeevy? Prodigal son, did he arrive all right and everything is good, settled in? Did he call you before he went to sleep last night? Steve's over to you, and then you can pass it to Kramer.
Yeah, it was tough. It's tough. I'm sad. But he'll be okay down there. He'll be all right. Did
I'll just sit on the side and listen. It's Greg into Alpha Sierra Sierra. I'll sit on the side and listen because it's coming in too choppy. And I'll send it over to the, I forgot his call sign again, the Australia station.
Charlie, that's me, the expat, VK2ILO, Victor Kilo 2, India Lima, House here. Stroke, KC2CT. I'm allowed to keep both call signs. How about, we're going down memory lane on horror and sci-fi movies. How about the attack of the 50-foot woman? The attack of the 50-foot woman. And nobody commented on the Cape Canaveral monsters. I'm really sort of disappointed with that. That nobody commented on that. I don't know who mentioned the giant ants, of course. The attack of the crab monsters. Fantastic. Low budget, black and white horror stroke sci-fi movies. They just were absolutely fantastic. Today they throw all kinds of money at high budget films, but you gotta wonder. They were able to the older films. Were made significantly low budget, you got to wonder. They spent millions of dollars, especially on the special effects, and you got to wonder. Will these films have the same impact 30 years from now, 30, 40 years from now, as some of the older low budget black and white films. Different money, but would it cost considerably more? I kind of wonder about that. Let's see. Gary, I'm going to throw it over to you. You're the only one that, I've got a call sign from, into ZEP, to take it, from VK2ILO, over.
Okay, I guess I have a memorable call sign then. If we're going to start talking about old thrillers, not necessarily sci-fi, but thrillers. Start listing all your favorite Alfred Hitchcock movies. Rich? I don't know why you had to take it to Alfred Hitchcock. I mean, you always trying to one-up everybody. What's with that? I just don't know. Steve, what do you think?
He obviously doesn't get out much. QN Mobile. I remember as a kid when I lived in part of the building, I used to think that the crawling guy was crawling up the side of the building was going to come get me. And of course, Forrest Tucker would say, V. Gates. Forrest Tucker was in that movie from F. Troop. And I think I told you this. My cousins are big time Hollywood horror producers now, and I'm not into those movies, so I don't really follow them too much, but they're making quite a name for themselves, the Roth brothers, not the Smith brothers.